Have your Bible with you this evening. We're turning once again to the Gospel of Luke. This time to Luke's Gospel, chapter 10. I also would like to thank you for coming tonight and for supporting us as we have sought to minister the Word in this particular theme of the week, down at the feet of Jesus. I would appreciate your continued prayers. If you pray for nothing else, pray the Lord will come by the power of His Spirit and work here amongst us and fill the preacher with that same power. So we're turning this evening to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10. And we'll begin our reading at verse 30. Jesus answering said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, the Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these 3 thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go and do thou likewise. Now it came to pass as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Amen. Pray earnestly the Lord will use the word tonight to speak to us and instruct us once again regarding those things pertaining to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Before we consider the Lord's word, let us unite in a brief word of prayer. O loving and eternal God, it is with great joy that we come into thy presence this evening. Lord, we're glad to be in the Lord's house. We're glad, Lord, the door of this preaching house is open. And we can come in, Lord, and worship thee and spend time, Lord, around thy holy word. And we thank thee for the word tonight. It is the infallible, inerrant word of the living God. And, O Lord, I pray that thou wilt speak this night by thy Spirit to every heart. And grant us, Lord, once more the help of the Holy Spirit of God, that, Lord, we might be enabled to preach the word. And in preaching the word, we will preach Christ and always make much of his precious blood. In the Savior's holy and peerless name we pray. Amen. Luke chapter 10. And here we find another individual down at the feet of Jesus. And we read about her there in verse 39. And she, that is Martha, had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. The certain village that is mentioned here was indeed Bethany, which we know from John, who informs us that Bethany was the town of Mary and her sister Martha, John 11 and verse 1. It would appear that Martha was the one who owned this particular house, because we read there in verse 38, Martha received him into her house. It was a home where the Lord Jesus was loved by all. And he loved all who were in that house. The love between them all was mutual. John 11 and verse 5, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. My, how good it is to know that the Lord Jesus truly loves us, as he loved Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And it is no wonder then that when the Savior came to Bethany, that Martha welcomed him into her home. We are told that Martha received him into her house. That word received is used in another place, and it indicates for us how Martha received the Lord into her house. For we read in Luke chapter 19 and verse 5, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide in thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him. It's the same word. But notice how he received him. He came down and received him joyfully. And that's how Martha received Christ into her home. She received the Lord Jesus into her home with great joy. She was glad to see him. She was glad to have him in her house. And of course, the house or the home where the Lord Jesus is loved is a home where there is joy and gladness and happiness. Is there such joy and happiness in your home because Christ is there? He is the one who gives us joy and happiness, joy that is full and overflowing. That was how Martha received the Lord, with joyfulness, glad to see him. Not only did Martha welcome the Lord, but when the Lord entered the house, we see Martha worked for the Lord. When the Lord entered the home, Martha felt constrained to do something for him. Do you ever feel that way? You know the Lord loves you, and you love Him. Have you ever asked yourself, now what can I do for Him? When He's done so much for me, what can I do for Him? That's how Martha felt once the Savior entered the home. We know, of course, in the Gospels and elsewhere, that there were many women who did much for the Lord. In the Gospel of Luke in chapter 8, we read there in those opening verses, in verse 2, Luke 8, verse 2, "And certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils." Now look at that verse 2. "And certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities," there the Lord had done something for them. Do you notice that? The Lord Jesus had done something very special for them, as well as Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils. Now, what did those women do in response to what the Lord had done for them? They felt constrained. We need to do something for the Savior. He's done so much for us. He has changed and transformed our lives. Will we see what they did? And Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod, Stuart, and Susanna, and many others which ministered unto him of their substance. See? They felt constrained to do something for the Lord. They ministered unto him of their substance. But that doesn't tell all the story. Look at the verse 1. "And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him, and certain women." In other words, the Lord Jesus, who went throughout every city and village preaching, was followed by these women. Whatever city he went to, whatever village he passed through, the women were there and they ministered on to him as he went through the towns and the villages and the cities preaching the gospel. The women were with him, ministering on to him wherever he went. Why, they felt constrained. He had delivered them and healed them. Sure, it was the least they could do. That's how they felt. But Martha wasn't one of those women. Martha was a woman who served the Lord at home. These other women in Luke chapter 8, they served the Lord abroad. They went with him in the towns and the villages and the cities, ministering unto him of their substance. Martha wasn't numbered with them. Martha served the Lord at home. You see, you don't need to go abroad to serve the Lord. Martha served the Lord in her own house. And we can all serve the Lord at home. The Lord's not going to call us all to go to the mission field or go into the ministry or wherever. But there's a work for us to do at home. You remember Legion, when the Lord delivered him, and he was found sitting where? At the Savior's feet. And the men of the city come out and saw him sitting clothed and in his right mind. And when the Lord departed from Gadara, Legion wanted to go with him. And the Lord said no. The Lord said to Legion, go home. Go home and tell thy friends what great things the Lord hath done for thee. It wasn't the Lord's will for Legion to go and serve the Lord elsewhere. The Lord said, go home. Well, that's where Martha served the Lord, at home. You can all serve the Lord at home. Do it if the Lord calls you to the mission field or into full-time service. Yes, we praise the Lord for that, but if he doesn't, don't be disappointed. You can serve the Lord at home. That's what Martha did. As well as Martha welcoming him and worked for him, we see Martha's willingness for him. For it seems that no sooner had the Savior entered the house than Martha began to serve, possibly, probably, to prepare a meal for her guest. And in her service for the Lord there in her home, she prepared a meal not just for one guest, but we are told that there were others there. The Lord wasn't the only one who entered that house, because others entered that house with him. In verse 38, now it came to pass as they went. And so there's Martha serving the Lord at home, and there are others who entered that home as well, and she had to serve a meal to them. And this reminds us of those words of the Savior, for whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because ye belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, you shall not lose your reward. If you serve others and help others and give a cup of cold water to somebody else in my name, it'll be like doing it for me. A good attitude, isn't it? It's what it is to be a Christian. That's what it is to be a true follower of the Lord Jesus. What can I do for him? Because he's done so much for me. That's Martha. But then what about her sister Mary? How did she respond to the Master's visit? Well, that's what we are told in verse 39, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. I want us to look, first of all, at the place for Mary. When the Savior came into the house, there was only one place for Mary. That was down at the feet of Jesus. And for this woman, Mary, it was first of all, it was a restful place. We're told that Mary sat at Jesus' feet. The word that is used there, sat, is not found anywhere else in the New Testament. It is a word that is unique to Mary. It is a word that describes Mary and describes nobody else, telling us something about the uniqueness of the relationship between Mary and the Master. Because this word, sat, means to sit beside. And we pointed this out during the week thus far, that whenever someone sits at the feet of Christ, it's as if they want to get as near to him as possible. And when they sit at his feet, they can't get much nearer. And Mary here sat beside the feet of Christ. That was the difference in the two sisters. Martha was cumbered about much serving, while Mary saw the need to rest a while, and so she sat at the Savior's feet. The Lord had taught his own disciples that we need to take time to rest. In Mark chapter 6, we read there in verse 30, "And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, Come ye apart," and what? "Rest a while." "Come ye apart into a desert place and rest a while, for there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat." Come ye apart and rest a while. And we want to notice something. Martha wasn't the only one who was serving in the house that day. Because you see, Mary was serving as well. The two sisters were serving. But Martha went on serving while Mary recognized that she needed to rest a while at the feet of her master. After all, that's what the Lord Jesus said, didn't he say, "All ye that labor and are heavy laden, come unto me and I will give you rest." And if you're involved in the Lord's work and in the service of the Lord, you need to do what Mary did. You can't just go on serving and serving and serving and serving and not taking time to sit down at the Savior's feet and rest a while. You're not going to be much good for the Lord if you keep on serving and run yourself into the ground. You need to take time to sit at the Savior's feet. That's what Mary did. It's a restful place for Mary. It was a returning place. Each time you read about Mary, you'll find her at the feet of Christ. And so that day when the Lord entered the home there in Bethany and Mary went to the feet of the Savior, she was simply returning to the place that she had often been, down at the feet of the Lord Jesus. Look at John chapter 11. John 11 and verse 1, "And a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick." Do you notice that? There would have been many Marys in Bethany at that time. But we see how this Mary stood out from everybody else, from all the other Marys, because John records it was that Mary who sat at Jesus' feet. In other words, we find here that this Mary was recognized and known as a woman who often spent time at the feet of Christ. She's recognized that way. That's how she was recognized. That's how she was remembered. How will we be remembered? How are we recognized today as Christians? Are we recognized as those who spend time at the Savior's feet? Are we recognized as men and women of prayer? Are we recognized as those who, when the prayer meeting's on, are always there? Always down at the feet of Christ. That's how Mary was remembered. That's how she was recognized. Here in Luke, our text for this evening, the reference to Mary being at the feet of Christ, we have Mary and the Word. No wonder Mary was fond of being at the Savior's feet, because there she often received a word from the Lord. Remember, Mary had been serving with Martha, but as a servant, she needed a word from the Lord. My two brethren here tonight will recognize that. When you're in the Lord's work and things aren't going too well, and in fact things seem to be going against you, what do you need most of all? You need a word from the Lord. A few weeks ago, I was greatly discouraged. And I had just started to study the book of Ezekiel. And I got to chapter 2 and verse 7. And the words of verse 7, as it were, stood out on the page, because it was a word from the Lord. And in that verse, the Lord was saying to Ezekiel, preach the word, whether they will hear or forbear. In other words, the Lord was saying to Ezekiel, my servant, you just keep preaching the word, whether people hear it or not. Just keep at it. That was a word for me. And my, when there are those times when you feel like giving up and you feel like packing it in and you feel like saying, I've had enough, need to get to the feet of Christ, you need to get a word from Him. And praise the Lord, He'll always give you a word. He gave Mary a word. And for Mary, nobody else heard that word. It was a personal word for Mary. And my, when you get a word like that from the Lord, and it's personal, and it meets your need, and as it were, it just hits the spot. It's not only a personal word, it's a precious word. And when I get a word like that from the Lord, I underline it and write a date beside it. That's a word from the Lord for me. It's personal and it's precious, because it's for me. That's the way it was with Mary. She had been serving, she had been working, helping Martha, and then she took her place at the Savior's feet, hearing His word. The Lord give a word to Mary. The other occasion when we read about Mary being at the feet of Christ is in John 12. And what did she do there? She anointed the Lord. So here in Luke 10, we have Mary at the feet of Christ, and she has a word from Christ. Mary, once again, in John 12, is at the feet of Christ. What she's doing there, she's worshiping Christ. Some testimony, isn't it? Down at the feet of Jesus, and while she's there, she's worshiping him. And she anointed him. Who are those who are usually anointed? Why? Kings are anointed. Just as Samuel was sent to the house of Jesse to anoint David as king of Israel. And there's Mary, and she's at the feet of the Savior, and she anoints him. And what's she doing? She's saying, "Thou art my king." Thou art my king. And I am thy servant. As well as it being a restful place and a returning place, it was also a rewarding place. Mary did not lose out by going to the feet of Christ and to sit there. Time spent at the Savior's feet with his word is never wasted time. You know how it is. It's as sure as anything. When you sit down in the quiet place and you open the word and you're beginning to read and there are things running through your mind, "I've this to do, I've that to do, I better get this done before such and such a time, before somebody comes," you know all about it. So many things to do, so many things to take care of. But here is Mary. Her sister's still serving, and she leaves her sister, and she takes her place at the feet of Christ, and she's rewarded. She's rewarded. How is she rewarded? She receives a word from the Lord. That's good reward. And you'll notice something. As Mary sat at Jesus' feet, she never uttered a word. She sat there in silence. Boy, wouldn't you love to have been there? Wouldn't you love to have been there with Mary? Just sitting, listening. Not saying a word. And just let the Lord Jesus speak to you. A personal, precious word. The Apostle James, chapter 1, verse 19, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak. Mary was swift to hear. Martha was swift to speak. Martha was the one who did the speaking. Martha was the one who did the talking. Martha had been busy preparing food for the natural man, but Mary was at the feet of Christ receiving food for the spiritual man. And we all need that kind of food. And so when we come before the Lord and we come into his house and the word is being preached, swift to hear. I'm sure Mary, as she sat there and she never uttered a word, she didn't want to miss a word. She didn't want to miss a word from the lips of the dear Savior. When your loved one been there, we have not only the place for Mary, but the priority for Mary. We have noticed that Mary had been involved in assisting Martha in preparing a meal for her guests. And then she left Martha to come and sit at Jesus' feet and heard his word. There you have, first of all, her interest. Martha was interested in the Lord and his work. Mary was interested in the Lord and his word. And it would appear that in the references to the sisters, that they were very close, because when you read of one, you read of another. And the Lord loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus. And they loved the Lord and they loved one another. It was a great bond between them. I don't think there's any doubt about that, and I don't think anybody can argue with that. But for Mary, when it came to making the choice between Martha or the Master, she chose the Master. When it came to making a choice between her sister or her Savior, she chose the Savior. And she left her sister. And she left Martha to go and sit at the Savior's feet. That's important. It is written by the Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians 8, verse 5, regarding the believers in Macedonia, what did they do? They first gave their own selves to the Lord. First. In other words, the believers of Macedonia put the Lord first in their lives. And here's Mary in the house with her sister and the disciples and whoever else was there. And who did Mary put first? She put the Lord first. She left her sister because it was time to go and sit at the Savior's feet. Luke chapter 9, verse 59. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first. See what was first? It wasn't the Lord. Other things were first. How is it in your life? Be honest. Before God, as God's eye is upon this meeting, how do you answer the question, is Christ first in my life? Is he? Or does he come in second or third? What is it do you put in front of the Lord Jesus? What is it that is first in your life? Mary, the Lord was first. There's no doubt about that. The Lord Jesus said, After Peter said to him, Peter began to say unto him, Lo, we have left all and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left houses or brethren or sisters, or father or mother, or wife or children, or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but shall receive an hundredfold. Is Christ first in your life? Answer the question, is he first? The fact that Mary left her sister Martha and came and took her place at the Savior's feet to hear his word is a sure indication Christ was first in Mary's life. Bless her. You feel like saying that, well, bless you, Mary. Thank you for the example you've set. Thank you for showing us what it is to put Christ first. Something we need to challenge ourselves about is Christ first in my life. It certainly was for Mary. That's her interest. And then you have the instruction. It would be foolish to suppose that what the Lord said had no real relevance to Mary's life. For the Lord never spoke a word that didn't mean something to the hearer, like those on their road to Emmaus. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. I'm sure my brethren and others here tonight have often thought, what would it have been like to have sat under the ministry of C.H. Spurgeon? What would it have been like to have sat and listened to the Prince of Preachers? What would it have been like to have sat in that church in Dundee and listened to Robert Murray McShane? Or what would it have been like to have sat in that little building in Antwerp in Scotland and listened to Samuel Rutherford? My, you would have given anything for that opportunity. But then we can take it higher. We can lift it higher and say, what must it have been like to listen to have listened to Christ preach? What? You remember, the old Pharisees sent their officers out one day to arrest them. And the boys came back empty-handed. And the Pharisees asked them, what have you done? Why have you not brought him? What did they say? Never man spake like this man. Instead of the soldiers arresting Christ, Christ arrested them with his preaching. Never man spake like this man. No wonder Mary wanted to sit at the Savior's feet and hear his word. Sure we'd do the same, wouldn't we? You have her interest and her instruction, and then you have the interruption. The words of our text reads, Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. In the original, we are told that these words read, may be read, Mary, having sat down at the feet of Jesus, was listening to his word. Clearly, Martha left what she was doing and came and interrupted. the Lord as he's speaking to Mary. What does this tell us? This tells us something about the state of Martha's heart. At that time, on the one hand, Mary sat respectfully, reverently at the feet of Christ, hearing his word. Then comes Martha barging in upon the scene. She interrupted the Lord with those words, and it's hard to believe anybody would utter those words. Lord, dost thou not care . Did you ever hear anything like that? Lord, dost thou not care? Oh, Martha, dear. Of all the people in the world, and all the people you knew, Martha, nobody cares for you like Jesus. And yet she came barging in upon that scene and said, Lord, dost thou not care? The disciples did exactly the same thing. There they were in the ship, in the midst of the storm, thought they were going to perish. And what did they say? They went and they awoke the Lord and they said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? That's terrible. Not a terrible thing to say. My, whenever you get into panic mode, you'll say many a thing that you don't really mean. When you're up against it and you're scared and you panic, you'll say many a thing. And that's what happened to the disciples. Master, carest thou not? Nobody cared for them more than Christ. Nobody. And nobody cared for Martha more than Christ. Let us be like Mary. And be like Mary and sit and listen to the word. That's what the Lord instructs us to do. Revelation 2, verse 11, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And finally and briefly, you have the praising of Mary. The Lord's response to Mary sitting at his feet, was very different from that of Martha. And you know, that just tells us something. Just tells us how out of touch Martha was with the Lord. Because Martha's response was very different than the Lord's. Something worth asking ourselves. Am I really in touch with the Lord? Do I have the mind of the Lord? And here you have the complaint. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, verse 40, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. Nobody likes to serve alone. All like to have a bit of company, a bit of support. But I find this interesting, that here's Mary, and she's the one who chose to sit at the Savior's feet and receive a word from him. And then Martha comes upon the scene, and all she does is complain. Now, I venture to say, if Martha spent time at the Savior's feet, she wouldn't have been doing any complaining. And the point that I'm making is this. The person who doesn't spend time at the feet of Christ will always be complaining. Complaining about something. Oh, I've this to do, I've that to do, I've the other thing to do. Well, what's wrong with that? What about that little chorus? I'll do it all for Jesus. I'll do it all for Jesus, for he's done so much for me. I'll do whatever I can. And here's Martha coming to the Lord and complaining. And as I said, if she spent more time at the feet of Christ, she wouldn't have been a complainer. Something about Martha now, we have pointed out Martha's faults, but there's one thing I have to say about Martha. The Lord here rebukes her. Martha, Martha, cumbered about much serving. Mary has chosen the better part. So Martha has been rebuked. When I turn to John 12, and the Lord Jesus is there after Lazarus has been raised from the dead, there they made him a supper, and Martha served. I like that. I like that. The gentle rebuke of the Savior did Martha good. Many another person, after receiving the rebuke, would have said, well, that's it. They would have thrown their hands up in the air and said, I'm not going to do any more. As we would say, many another person would have taken the huff. They'd have taken the huff, they'd have got their back up. But Martha didn't. I have to commend her. Martha graciously accepted the rebuke. And the next time we read about her, she's still serving. Well, good for her. She had learned. You have not only the complaint, you have the call. The Lord had to call Martha, Martha, twice. Why? Because Martha was so caught up in what she was doing. The word cumbered means distracted. She was so distracted, the Lord had to call out her name twice to get her attention. To get her attention. The Lord has to do many a thing to get our attention sometimes. And then you have the commendation. The Lord commended Mary. Jesus, verse 41, Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Martha has chosen that good part. She's chosen that one thing. That one thing that's needful in your life. What about it? Are we a Martha or a Mary tonight? Are we so taken up with other things? And maybe not even the things of God, that the Lord's not first in your life. The Lord's not first, but He should be. He should be. Put Him first tonight. Let's bow our heads in prayer. O Lord our God, we thank Thee for the example of Mary. Dear woman who put her Savior first, above brother and above sister, above disciples, above house and home. Put the Lord first. O Lord God, through the Word, examine our hearts this evening. And O Lord, help us all, to put Thee, Lord, in Thy rightful place in our lives. King of my life, I crown Thee now. Lord, help us to do that, to crown Thee now. Speak on to hearts, we pray. And for any who are strangers to Thee, they don't love Thee at all, turn their hearts toward Thee this night, and may they fall down at Thy feet and cry, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, be with us now as we part the one from the other. Take us to our homes in safety. May we be much in prayer for tomorrow night and Thy will. May we know a move of the Holy Spirit of God. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide in me in this as now, and until the day breaks, and the shadows all flee away. Amen.